Once again, we lean on the Lord this morning. Grateful we can gather here together. Grateful to see the saints gather in this morning. And this is a day that many times that we have family times together. It's wonderful that we can have that family time together. Also know that because of that, sometimes it's felt more keenly when people have had lost loved ones today. And we just want you to know that our hearts share that grief with you. And on this day of Thanksgiving, I believe the Lord would still have something for us to rejoice in today. Those songs that were shared, the blessings that the Lord has given us, and we can count them, and we can begin to recount them. And in our mind, I know that sometimes when we can look on sometimes the disadvantages or things that we wish were different. On this day, Lord, I lift up mine eyes to you. On this day, Lord, I thank you for what I have. Whether it might be just a roof over my head, good things. We're grateful for that today. But beyond that, at the pinnacle of when we begin to look over our mind, in our mind, and take inventory of all the things we have to thank the Lord for, I believe that at the pinnacle of all those things, as I turn my eyes to Calvary and recognize what my Lord did there, when he let his love go to the point that he looked down at people who were enemies at heart, and he took his son and brought him to a place that paid my penalty on the cross and made it so that we can be free from that old guilt, that we can look to the world and realize that all is well with our soul today. That is the greatest blessing, and it should cause us, give us the greatest opportunity today to say, thank you, Lord. Oh, our hearts are full of thanksgiving to him today because of what he did for us. Surely our Lord is great and given us plenty of reason to thank him today. I would like to turn over into the 19th chapter of Matthew. My purpose today is not to try to keep you for a long time, but my purpose for us today is to turn our eyes toward the Lord. We get pictures, we get the Lord begins to reveal himself to us in his character, in his word. While it's right for us to recognize that there is an eternal judgment, I think Brother Lauren this morning mentioned to us in our motivation to serve the Lord. Sometimes he talked about our end and perhaps why we don't want to go to hell. We don't want to have that. And that's true, that's proper. But that's not the real reason why I serve him today. It's part of it. It's right to recognize that as part of it. But the reason why I'm held near him is because he loves me. It's because there is something that he has exposed to me and realized even when I was yet not just a sinner but an enemy of him, he gave his son. I don't have to be held in that bondage of that cycle of self-destruction, that sinful cycle of life. He came to deliver, not to just accuse, not to reveal how evil that life is, but to not only reveal, but to offer deliverance from that old man. Oh, thank the Lord this morning. Surely we can look at that cross We can look at what he accomplished on that and say, my name was taken there. He looked at me. He cares for me. And he didn't stop caring at Calvary. He came down off that cross with the victory. And he looks at you and I today and still holds our names in the palm of his hands. And he cares for us as we walk through this life here. And is interested in being our guide, our personal care, personal shepherd. Little part here I would like to focus on for a little bit. In the 13th verse of the 19th chapter of Matthew, to me, this is a little picture. This involves children. This involves our Savior. This involves the disciples that were there. I believe that his disciples likely were watching Jesus expend himself. He gave time, lots of time. In the human, they recognized that Jesus was, here was a man before them, and they saw him weary sometimes, likely bone weary in his humanity, and giving of himself. People would come with all their troubles, sicknesses, all manner, and they brought to him people with all kinds of needs in their mind and soul and their body, and he touched them, and he ministered to them. Well, amidst all that, I'm sure they saw this one they cared for and loved and wanted to protect. The disciples saw him dealing with all this weight of responsibility upon him. And here came a mothers with children and saying, oh, would you bless my children? Naturally so, would it not be? If Jesus was here today, who of us wouldn't want to take our little children? Come and would you touch my child? You know, many times in our prayer when we pray, Lord, touch our hearts. Lord, touch our children. In my prayer, as I was raising my children, as I'm helping still to influence my grandchildren, many a time in my prayer I'm saying, Lord, touch my children, touch my grandchildren. Help them to grow up to be tender-hearted. Lord, cultivate in them something that the door would be open to your voice in the future. I want them to know you. Surely, what's wrong with it? Nothing's wrong with us bringing our children to the Lord like that. These mothers loved that too. They saw something special. Jesus didn't have to proclaim at that day that he was the Messiah. But there was something that emanated from him that attracted people. There's something real here. Does not our heart burn within us? I believe there is something that rises up within us when we behold our Lord and Savior, that even if we didn't recognize him at that moment, there's something calls out. We recognize there's something special here. And as the Lord continues, brings us to this place of understanding and revelation, we only love him more. Well, here the mothers came with these children, desiring Jesus to touch their children. And the disciples saw this and they said, no, I'm going to put this in my words. Likely it could be something like this at least. The disciples said, quit. He doesn't have time to deal with the children. They're rambunctious, they're noisy, they disrupt services. And I want you to know this morning, if you got children here and they start making noise, I love hearing the noise. We can do fine with the noise of children. In fact, I love it because I think that child has a great opportunity, and I want that child to grow up right here. I want that child to come to know the Lord and to be part of the congregation in the future. We don't walk out. I understand. As your parent, I know there's some responsibility, but I want that child to come to know the Lord here. So that there was this sense. When the disciples were probably trying to protect Jesus and probably had this sense of these children, they're rambunctious and they don't know how to sit still. When Jesus is trying to teach, they're kind of distraction, but Jesus looked at his disciples. And this puts us maybe it opens a window for us to look in and see the character of our Lord. Jesus said, suffer. 14th verse, Jesus said, suffer, little children. In this reading, another place said, and forbid them not. But the very term, suffer, little children, what do you think? Does he say, I think he was saying, don't run them off, bring them here. But also there's a certain amount of, when we're dealing with these children, there's a certain amount of love is extended that we recognize that they're just children. Let them come. Let them be a little, they're little rambunctious. I know we need to train. I'm not opposed to that at all. But they're children. Suffer, little children, and forbid them not. Here he says, suffer, little children, and forbid them not to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. This is what all the Lord loves. Again, the window is open to our understanding. This is the type of character of the one who is our Lord and Savior today. It shows to me that he is not harsh or demanding of these children. He understands their childness. He understands their limitations. And that helps me a lot when I recognize in my ignorance, as I grow, as I progress in life, that there are so many places that the Lord has had to have mercy on my ignorance, on my childishness. He loves us today. And he's not trying to find and catch us in a place that I have not been capable, I haven't been able to understand yet. He's not trying to catch us in some place of misunderstanding that he can cut us off, but he's interested in us being blessed. I believe that Jesus, in this moment, it didn't really say exactly what he did here, but it does. And he laid his hands on them. I could just see his loving these children, maybe rambunctious, parents trying to crowd, brought them up there. And maybe he fixed his eyes on the child and he reached out. I don't know. Did he pray? Maybe. We don't have it recorded exactly what he said. But I know how my heart has been sometimes when I've reached out and touched a child and felt the yearning in my heart. I've held children before and I've held them and hugged them and prayed and said, Lord, protect this child. I can't believe that the loving heart of our Savior is any less than that. I believe he touched these children with great desire for these children and great love. I don't know what all passed through that touch and all prayer, but I know the Heavenly Father loves those children and he loves you and I. Because see, Jesus also prayed for us. He has desire and passion that you and I not only be united with him, that we know him, we could know the Father as Jesus knows the Father, but that we'd also be knit together in one. This is what the Lord, his will. Oh, thank you, Lord, for all that you accomplished on Calvary. Thank not just salvation and saving of my soul, but the knitting together of this body. The love that runs between our hearts today that makes us family. You may have lost family members, but I want to tell you, you're still in a family. You're in a greater family. Perhaps there might be some, and if there is, I hope there are many people out there that feel alone today. I wish somehow they would know they don't need to be alone. Here's a family. I want you to feel at home here today in the family of God. I want you to feel the love of God and his extended hand drawing us nearer to him, making us feel comfortable, happy in his presence. Well, let's go on now to the next part. This shifts gears. And behold, one came and said unto him, good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? The question is asked, how can I have eternal life? That's a very worthy question, isn't it? Is it one likely? I think it's a question that we should ponder in our mind. I don't know why he asked the question. Perhaps he was interested in living forever. I don't know what all that meant to his mind when he said, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" Maybe he had heard some of the preaching about eternal life, and he said, "I want that." Maybe he thought, "If I live longer, I can find ways to collect more wealth. Or maybe I can accomplish more things that I want. I just want to live. I like living. It's okay to appreciate life. But also, it's even better to consider our end." They both are important for us in life. But there's one thing certain for all of us here today is that there will be an end. And after that, again, in the beginning, God, throughout life is God. At the end, we're going to meet God also. And it's good for us to consider that part that we are fastly approaching. We see, and we've had many reminders in our environment and things, we loved ones that we have lost, they remind us there is an end. And after that, the judgment. We understand that in the Scripture. But oh, we can look toward that end with a great happiness. There is an eternity. And we can have life eternal. There is something we can have a hope greater than this life right here. I don't know, maybe this young man likely came with an eagerness or the desire to, "I want to know how I can live forever." It's good. But it's not this body's going to live forever. But our eternal soul will. And I want this part of me. And today is a great, we have the great blessing that God has provided for you and I, something that we can have this great assurance in our soul that I can live beyond the life of this body. I can live with Him in peace forever. The door has been opened for you and I. The price has been paid. You and I, we can go out from this life and have with great assurance in our heart and meet Him and see Him and be with all the... I don't know what heaven's going to be like. I can't tell you for sure. But I can tell you I want to go. And I want to go there and be with my Lord. And I can think about other reasons why I want to... There's a lot of people I want to meet. And when I think about those that have went on, I want to be there with them. I don't know what heaven's going to be like, but I do know this much. I want to see my Savior face to face. So the young man came with eagerness and said, "Good Master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life?" And he said unto him, "Why callest thou me good?" I don't believe that Jesus was reprimanding him for calling him good, because Jesus was good. I believe what Jesus was really saying to the man, "What has motivated you to call me good? Why callest thou me good? You? There is something that you have begun to recognize. That in your heart, this element of belief has begun to build in you to recognize that I am God, or I am good. I am this element that is challenging you in your soul. Why callest thou me good? There is none good there is none good but one, and that is God." So again, I think, this should, in my mind, should be interpreted and realized that Jesus is challenging him, "What you are seeing is God. That's what has motivated you to come." Jesus was the Word of God, was He not? "Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, and that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments." Well, that sounds pretty... Surely I can do that, can't we? What are they? 10 commandments. There's more than that, though. Those are pretty good. Those are really good commandments. Thou shalt not, thou shalt. Those are good commandments. Well, this man, he began to take a catalog in his memory of what those were. Thou shalt not, thou shalt do no murder. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Jesus started enumerating them to him. Honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And the young man said unto him, all these have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet? I wonder how long he pondered about his obedience to all the commandments. Because when I begin to think about some of these and we measure ourselves in the presence of God, you start saying, I don't know how well I accomplished that one. But he said, I feel pretty good about what you're... All these have I done from my youth up. What lack I yet? Still wanting to know about eternal life. I would stop at this juncture and try to remind us that all of our self-righteousness is like filthy rags. All of our self-assurance or our belief that I've done really well. I'm going to tell you, you haven't done very well without the grace of God. It takes a humility, a hunger, a desire, an humbling of ourselves under the mighty hand. It brings us to this place of leaning on Him. Realizing I cannot do this well without Him. I've got to have the help of the Lord to achieve living for Him in this life. And that is what this young man, I believe there was a disconnect. He missed something here when Jesus brought him to this place about the commandments. That should have brought him, I think probably a proper response from the young man should have been, Lord, I need help. I've the things you just said, those commandments, and I'm taking inventory in my mind what really, how well, Lord, I realize that you just said a big mouthful. How am I dealing with this? Honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. How well has he done that? Pretty good. Sometimes. You ever had any trouble with your neighbor? You ever had any trouble with your brother? Those around us. Sometimes the rubbing. This was just the old law. This was the command. Love your neighbor as yourself. And maybe in a cursory glance I can boldly and ignorantly, ill-advisedly say, I've done that pretty well, but be careful. Lord, there's a place that the Lord wants in our heart to truly love our brother as ourselves, or perhaps put him better than ourselves. Love him enough. I'm going to tell you, the love of God was demonstrated to us in a greater level, a tremendous level, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever but believe in him should not perish but have eternal life. Well, this young man felt evidently very well accomplished here. 21st verse, Jesus said to him, if thou wilt be perfect. So Jesus knew there was some lack. If you will be perfect. And then he touched his heart. Go and sell that thou hast, and give to the poor. Go and sell. We see that the young man had felt pretty well done. He'd done it well. But at this point, there came a realization in his mind. He hadn't done very well. Sell that thou hast and give to the poor. How do you love your neighbor as yourself without helping our brother and sister? There's different things that this began to touch in this young man's life. If thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. Look at the trade-off here. You know, sometimes we can feel pretty self-assured, self-accomplished. And he evidently had great treasure on this earth, this young, rich young ruler. Again, he had the right question. What must I do to inherit eternal life? I want to be successful. Hopefully, the question was an honest question. I want to be successful spiritually. If thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. What a wonderful place to have treasure. Thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. Dear ones, this body and what we see here today and the conflicts that we find within this earth, this is all going to pass away someday. But there is eternal dwelling. This soul will live on. And God has made, He's gone to prepare a place for us. And some of that preparation was for us to enjoy His dwelling place here. But there's also a place over there in eternity. And He's gone to prepare a place for us that where I am, there you may be also. God wants us to be in His presence. And He's not interested that any man should perish. All the conflicts, the things that goes on in our mind, the Lord would help us to be delivered from those things and brought to a place of peace and victory in our life. That our interactions with each other will be oiled with the very oil of love. The elements that draws us kindly together, supportive of one another, that brings us together as a family, truly, in our love. And this young man seemed as though he had a great eagerness, a desire to achieve, to get to this place, eternal life. Well, Jesus said, if you will be perfect, go and sell all that you have, give to the poor. Relinquish that. Turn it loose. That binds you here. That seems to be so precious to you right now. That stands as an impediment and as an impediment between you gaining the true victory in your heart. Sometimes the riches that we may seem to have, it feels like our identity, maybe that stands as an impediment. Sometimes those things can be my emotions. Again, I don't want to fall back on just some of what we preached on last night. But some of those things, if I have hurts that I carry to the point that they stand, that's my riches, you see. That's me. I have right to feel that way. And the Lord said, turn it loose. Turn it loose because it's too heavy a burden to carry. That's my wealth, though. That's me. No, it's not. If you want to be perfect, if you want to be free, if we want to have true inheritance in heaven, there's some things the Lord would have us to turn loose and allow the Lord to bring us to a place of victory, a place of treasure in heaven. Come and follow me. But the young man heard that saying. When he heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. He felt like he was too high a price to pay. Is it truly? I think that's something that the Lord would have us to ask ourselves. Sometimes the things that we would carry, they become actually weights that anchor us in places, that keeps us away from the land of progress, keeps us from that place of truly gaining spiritual progress in our life. And this man had before him the answer. It was laid out before him. Your treasure is just ahead, and you can come and follow me. What wonderful invitation. He could have not only called him good master, but known him as his Lord and Savior. He could have experienced that. He could have walked with the other 12. He could have been right there. Could have been one of those that perhaps we may have known his name at some point. Right now, we know him only as a rich young ruler. As somebody who came with a certain eagerness, with a certain desire to achieve, I'm interested. But it was mixed with a level of carnality that caused him not to pay the full price, not to give his all. And that is what God is asking for us. He wants our life. As Brother Rod and what was mentioned here today about how do we praise the Lord? We praise Him with what He has done in our life and letting that be expressed in who we are. Our very life, the way we live it, the way we love, the way we touch our neighbor, the way we interact with each other, the very character of Christ is meant to be lived out in us. That people will actually may know that we are the sons of God. And not have to guess about it. Not have to wonder about it. And that was achieved and can only truly be achieved when we divest ourselves of me. And then what was it Jesus said? He said, if any man come after me, what does he need to do? Take up his cross. That doesn't sound a very appealing thing to do, but he says, take up his cross, deny himself, and take up his cross daily. And in this avenue of denying ourselves, being willing to enter into Christ, take a different identity. I don't want to be known as the self-indulgent rich young ruler. I don't want to be known as that anymore. I want to be known as a child of the King. I want to be known as one whose soul has been redeemed. I want to be one of those, a child of God, that when I lay on this head down or I lay this body down, there's a peace. There's as a knowledge that eternal life is truly mine. Oh, who was it? Was it Brother Ulysses Phillips? A resurrection. Is he the one that wrote that? A resurrection, I confess, has taken place within my breast. I've been awakened from the dead. See, we can find eternal life. We can live an eternal life. We can have the earnest of it here. We can experience some of that, the active working of God in our life here. And that always is pointing then to the great assurance that tomorrow, when that and that morn and that eternal morn, eternal morning, that I can see Him face to face. I can be His child. Oh, this morning we have great reason to thank the Lord. We have great reason today. And I know that there's sometimes other reasons for people to feel a little displaced today. But oh, again, when I look toward Calvary, when I look toward the one who truly loves our soul, and He calls us gently to His side, and He said, it's okay if you're mourning your spirit. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Especially the mourning I think the Lord would have us to have is if there's a lack in our soul and we acknowledge and we mourn because of that part of me, we should come eagerly to the Lord and say, Lord, what do I need? I want to inherit eternal life. This part is an hindrance to me. And He points it out, and then we yield and give it up and say, Lord, I'm selling all that I have. My investment now is in heaven. My investment now is in You, Lord. And oh, what a peace can flood in our soul. And when the young man heard that saying, He made the wrong decision. He went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. I wonder how great those were. To the human mind, we get impressed pretty easily with our possessions. But when we gauge them against eternal value, they're just nothing but rags. They're nothing but dust. I don't care if you had a whole pocket full of gold here today. How valuable is that in eternity? What you going to spend it on in heaven? Can you take it with you? Oh, what a foolish way of thinking. If I gauge my value by the things that I possess, worldly things that I possess. But oh, today, if you could say, I know the Lord in my heart, you have a riches. You have a richness in your soul much greater than anything else out there. You have a peace. You have a knowledge that you have eternal life. That I can look beyond this life and this old body and this world we live in now. And I have a great hope. And all to me, I've lost loved ones and things, people that I mourn for. There are times in my aloneness I weep when I think of some of my losses, some of those feelings. I understand some of those. But oh, when I realize that there's an eternity that I can dwell with all that I have loved, that have went on into glory, had been faithful while they live here, there's a certain joy begins to come within my heart and a longing for that place over there. I know you might, some of you might be young and you don't have a longing for heaven yet. I understand that. It's okay. But I'm starting to get to that part of my life that heaven's looking better all the time. And I want to go. And along that road, I want to get rid of the things in my pockets that's holding us down. Divest, you see. Something's greater, something's more valuable. Something has attracted my spiritual vision that's higher than all this clutter of this world. I don't want to be like this rich young ruler that felt like, oh, I still need to hang on to this. No, turn it loose. You'll have treasure in heaven. Give up whatever it is holding us back. Is it the desire to be noticed? Is it the desire for people? Oh, whatever it is. We have all manner of riches sometimes that stand between us and the true riches. But I want to encourage you during this meeting, as we take stock of ourselves, and start measuring my mind by eternity, that we'd realize where the real riches are. And then we start looking at the one who is wooing our soul to that place eternal. And realize that he loved us with all of our imperfections. With all of our humanity. And he just wants the raw material. Give it up. When Jesus invited him to go sell all and come and follow me, in that following of the Lord, there's a changing that goes on in the very core of who I am. He'll take us in our immature state and begin to raise us as his dear children. Correct us, develop us. I hope you understand what I'm trying to say here. He takes you, us, as we are. But he just asks us to give up. Don't keep on holding to the old. Lay it down. And the one who's asking us to do that is one who loves us with a deeper love than you ever know. And he has purpose for our tomorrow. And he has a home to take us to. And he has a peace to give us while we live here. A joy and a family of God to be part of. Look at all we have today. Surely we can look up at him and thank him within the depths of our heart today. Oh, yes, Lord, I thank you for the beautiful things that the world you've given us. I thank you, Lord, for the freedom and the America that we have. We're very grateful for all that, but I really thank him for what he's done for us in our soul. Pray for me today. I want to serve him. May the Lord bless each one of us.